Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We are all entitled to sexual health, just as much as physical and mental health.
We want to make it easier for folks to find resources. However they engage with us, there's no wrong door.
So it's important that people are able to get access to care that is affirming.
Talking about what their sex life is, about their concerns, and to make sure they're healthy.
Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your sexual health matters. Visit doitforumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Welcome to the 5 Yard IDP pod with me, Nath Davis. If you're joining us on Thursday, you'll be seeing us in the flesh for the very first time. So hello, how are you? Hello, Brendan. Hello. It might come as a shock to some of you. We're sorry about that. You can pick yourself back off the floor now. As you can see, I'm joined by my wingman, Mr. Brendan Veal. Where's your hair gone? Oh, no, no, he didn't. He never really had any hair. I'm only joking.
That's why, he hasn't had any for years.
But he's wearing his cap. How's tricks, Bren? How's your fantasy week two been?
Yeah, not great. Got to be honest, had a decent start last weekend, but struggled a bit in the Lawrence Taylor League, so I'm going 1-1 in that, dropping to 0-2 in our Ray Lewis League. Bit better in some of the home leagues, but as far as IDP went, it was a little bit disappointing. Good point score in the Lawrence Taylor, but just missed out by about 20 points in the end. So how'd you get on?
Yeah, good. Pretty mixed across all my leagues and stuff. I say pretty mixed. I'm probably 75% winning this week. So it's been a pretty good week. Apart from the IDP leagues where I've got Paddy in one who he runs Nerdball. I need a miracle, I think, to get anything there. I'm doing all right in the others, but we'll see. Before we go much further on this pod, I know there's the other pods that we do as well, we're supported by Manscaped. They're our sponsors, and let me just tell you a little bit about them. So Manscaped are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, and they offer precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They have now released the Lawnmower 4.0, which is a fantastic bit of kit. The great thing about it is the skin-safe technology, so there's no nicks for your bits. Here's another picture of some other snaps of the product. You can get 20% off at manscaped.com with a code 5yard. We'll put it across the bottom of the screen shortly. If you haven't invested in one, guys, you're really missing out. It's a game changer in that area. Also comes with free worldwide shipping. So, right, let's get back to it. Where are we? We are... Let's talk about... What are you drinking? I haven't asked you what you're drinking, Bren. Follow suit with the Dynasty guys. They like to have a drink. Well, Liam does. We know about his dodgy cocktails. Well, at the moment, I've got a leftover Bud from Sunday. But what you got?
Well, I'm sort of double parked at the moment. I've gone really hardcore. I've got a cappuccino on the go, and orange squash. So I can't do school night drinking anymore. I'm too old. Sorry for Liam.
Yeah, we're gonna follow suit. We're gonna copy his drink of choice, are we? We're gonna have a go at Liam's drink of choice every week going forward.
His cocktails.
Just to get us in the mood.
Can I have a mocktail?
Yeah. We'll do that. See what he comes up with. So let's get straight into this week's games. Week three is upon us. If you kick it off with the Thursday night football tonight.
Yeah. So looking at tonight's game. So Panthers at the Texans. So we like the Panthers coming into this season. They had a good win at the weekend, pretty convincing. At home to the Saints, 26-7. I did all right off the back of it. Brian Burns picked up a good sort of 16.5 points, sack, tackle for a loss. They really kept the Saints out of the game for the most part. You know, they got a few points on the board towards the end of the game. It's nice to see rookie JC Horn. You know, he's picking off the backup quarterback now at the Texans following the injury. So that pretty much closed out the game. I'd be fairly heavy on the Panthers for this from an IDP perspective. I don't really think it'll matter which Texans or QB starts. So Haason Reddick has had sort of good back-to-back weeks. He's the LB8 at the moment, but you've always got the option to play him at DL, which, you know, we would generally recommend. Daquan Jones, tackle, racked up 13.5 points. He racked up a sack as well. So I think, to be honest, as far as the Panthers go this week, I'd be looking at, obviously, you're playing your Shaq Thompsons, your Jeremy Chins, your Brian Burns. But I definitely think there's some value in that D-line as well. Texans, they've not been terrible. I mean, let's be honest, far from it. I mean, okay, the Jags were awful week one. The game last weekend against the Browns, they were in it. You know, for a good two, you know, sort of half to sort of thirds of the game. And then Chubb just ran it out of them towards the end of the game, really. I think the defense was looking a bit tired and battered by that point. Yeah, I managed to force fumble on People Jones. Justin Reed picked off Baker. You know, Christian Kirksey, linebacker, went for, you know, a good 15 points after he had a monster week in week one. So he's racking it up consistently. But speaking about monster days, I mean, you got, you know, Gruger Hill had 33 points, you know, a sack, a forced fumble. I mean, he had a day at the office. So really, I think the Panthers will have too much for him tonight. You know, we've liked this young defense. It's good to see it sort of, you know, performing the way we sort of thought it could do. They've looked good so far. But, I wouldn't write off the Texans completely from a defensive point of view. Sam Darnold, as good as he was, and he was good on, you know, at the weekend, he's still got a mistake in him. So I think, you know, you're looking at the scores that, you know, Gruger Hill and Kirksey have put up in the first couple of weeks. I think if there is any value in that Texans team, I'd probably be looking at linebackers. You know, maybe something if you're a bit short in sort of the secondary. But I think the linebackers from a Texans point of view is probably where the value is. I don't know what you're, you know.
I mean, the Tyrod injury is quite an interesting one. You know, Davis Mills coming in. He really he really pings the ball. I mean, he really throws that ball hard to the point of where there's definitely a pick or two out there if he plays. But we'll have to wait and see on that front. I would be looking at the Panthers secondary. I think they really could be in play on that, but that's quite a normal sort of like line for me to, for anybody that sort of does play the Texans. However, Tyrod's been really quite consistent. It's a difficult shout on that because we don't know the QB status at this stage. So let's wait and see on that. I've got the Panthers to win that. So it's me. Cardinals versus Jags. I'll start with the Jags on this. Miles Jack's looking good. Josh Allen, he had two sacks. He's got two sacks so far this season. I've got a note on Andrew Wynyard. He's one guy that's going under the radar. In week two, he had eight tackles. His safety, that is, Andrew Wynyard. Week two, he had eight tackles, one tackle for a loss, and one sack to add to his four tackles from week one. He's one to kind of keep an eye on, as he's looking like he might consistently score quite well, and is probably on waiver wires and I would say definitely slipping under the radar. I thought that the Jags are looking a better unit in week two after the terrible performance in week one. Hopefully that sort of continues. Not much more I can really go into on the Jags when it comes to breaking down position by position. They're the ones that I would look at. Miles Jack, Josh Allen, Andrew Wynyard are the ones that I would look at for them at this stage. Over to the Cardinals. Isaiah Simmons is pretty much lights out at the moment. He's the one I'm looking to make a trade for. Nine tackles in this week, I think. 18 tackles and... Oh, sorry. I've got my notes all over the place on this. He's somebody that I'm targeting, Isaiah Simmons. He's really racking up the tackles and he's flying all over the field. Jordan Hicks is also still seeing a high amount of snaps and he shouldn't be left on the waiver wire if he's there. Zaven Collins can't be started yet. Again, stash him for later if you can. At the moment, it's, like I said, I'm all in on Isaiah Simmons. It's a steady week for the Arizona secondary and defensive line compared to the high score in week one. JJ Watt brought some serious pressure on Kirk Cousins. So, yeah, the front, the DLs, they're looking particularly good. I expect you might see Chandler Jones get another sack, maybe. But mind you, I haven't seen, there's only two sacks that Trevor Lawrence has taken so far, which is not too bad considering the poor performances that really have been out there. I've got the Cardinals winning that. What have you got, Brent?
Same for me. I think Arizona would be too strong, but like you say, I mean Josh Allen on the Jags, as you mentioned, I mean he's had good weeks. You know, good point scoring. If he can keep up the consistency, then I don't think you're going to struggle to find him on waiver wise because I think a lot of people, you know, are quite keen on him. The Jags have improved. Wouldn't have been difficult on week one, as you say. But I like the look of Arizona at the moment. So I think they'll have too much, and I think they'll rattle Lawrence a bit. I can see a couple of picks potentially. So, I'm definitely all in on the Cards on this one, mate. Moving on. So, next game I'm going to cover off is the Chargers at the Chiefs. So, let's kick off with the Chiefs. Tight loss last weekend against the Ravens. As I say, lost a tight game on special play. The rookie DE sort of over forcing and recovering the fumble with 1:20 left on the clock, that iced the game. Really could have gone either way. If the Chiefs keep the ball, you know, then it's a different scoreline. But you know, that I think this game, the Chiefs are going to want to put pressure on Herbert. The Honey Badger's back, Tyrann Mathieu. Yeah, and he had a day. 36 points, 2 picks, 1 TD. Elsewhere, Daniel Sorensen in the secondary. Again, big day, 27.5 points, sack, 2 tackles for losses. Nick Bolton at linebacker picked up 17 points. You know, another
tackle. Big up Nick Bolton, my man. people need to listen. Kids quality.
Yeah, I still find that's I missed a trick on the last game. It's quite nice to see you going in for an Isaiah Simmons, your alleged Swiss Army knife player before the start of the season. So.
I know, but he is no more. He's the killer linebacker now. So,
well, I mean, this is what we said, wasn't it, when we covered off the division a few weeks ago? You know, if he could settle into a role and be consistent, he had all the tools to, you know, to put up these sort of numbers, didn't he? So, anyway, so yeah, going back to the Chargers Chiefs, yeah, I think week three against the Chargers Chiefs, I think the DBs are in play, secondary. I think Herbert, you watch some of the throws he made last weekend, and he really can force that ball into tight positions. But I think they struggle to make those crucial plays. So, and I think, you know, as I said, you know, Mathieu coming back, Sorensen having good games. Sorensen, I found on several waiver wires. I think he'd be worth a look. Chris Jones had a quiet game, but I think he'll be more of a factor this game. Again, looking to step up and put some pressure on Herbert. Moving over to the Chargers, you know, second week loss to the Cowboys. Pretty close game. They tripped themselves up a bit with sort of turnovers and penalties. Probably not really looking at the DL or the linebacker too much. Although, you know, I'd expect Joey Bosa to be busier than he was, potentially.
Kenneth Murray's got an injury, I'm hearing that he has.
Oh, has he?
Definitely got questionable against his knee.
Yeah, so that's something we'll have to sort of keep an eye on over the next couple of days.
He's playing really well.
Yeah. Both teams can run the ball, definitely. It's a question of whether it develops into a bit of a shootout between, you know, Herbert and Mahomes as to how you might want to look at this defensively. But they both got a good ground game, as I say. So it's a bit of a tough one to call. In terms of Chargers players that performed well last week, Derwin James racked up 17 points, Nasir Adeli, 16 points, you know. And the 21-year-old Asante Samuel racked up over 20 points, including a pick. So there's some players there that you might want to look at. But against the Chiefs run, you know, you could potentially make a case for the likes of sort of Jerry Tillery at DL. You know, had a decent game against Dallas, 12.5 points. So I think there's value in both defenses, but I expect the Chiefs to hit it back hard, you know, after that defeat. And I think defensively they'll have too much. And if they can, I think Herbert's, you know, pretty sort of, you know, he's pretty cool under pressure most of the time, but I can see them getting to him. I can see them forcing a couple of mistakes. I've got the Chiefs sort of bouncing back this week and taking that. And I think the bulk of the value is probably in that Chiefs defense as an all round.
Yeah. So, I got the Chiefs as well. I think it'd be a good game. I'm sure Chargers will try and light it up and try and play, but I think they might get dragged into trying to play the Chiefs at their own game, which is exactly what they want to happen. I'm going Chiefs. So me, I'm over. What am I now? Washington versus the Bills. Put the old tick. Yeah, the Washington Giants game was a good game. Taylor Heineke is looking good under center for Washington. He looks composed. I know Rich is big on him. We talked a lot about him preseason, and I'm a bit surprised that, you know, that Washington didn't make the call, really. If it wasn't for Fitz coming in and being such a name, I think Taylor Heineke would have got the job and they'd have given it to him. And there wouldn't have been that much of a a big drama about it. But yeah, he certainly looks looks good at the moment. And the Bills, well, sorry, Brent, but that was a hell of a performance. I thought they played really well against you guys. You guys, the Dolphins just didn't really show up. But again, the Bills got in early and done damage early. So going through it, I expect it to be tight. But from an IDP perspective, there are definitely points to be had from both sides. I don't expect the Washington DLs to score anywhere as well as they did against the Giants. Chase Young and Montez Sweat are not really lighting it up at the moment, and it's the points are coming from the interior guys more. Jonathan Allen top scored in week two. He had another two sacks to add to the one from week one. So I have a lookout for Jonathan Allen if he's around. The guy I want to talk about is Cole Holcomb, though, the linebacker. Cole is really being productive. He's seeing pretty much the majority of the snaps. He seems to lead that defense. He's there barking out orders, and he seems to be the man in Washington. He's had 17 tackles over the first two games, so he's definitely a solid add. Kendall Fuller from the secondary is also a man to have. He had seven solo tackles and a sack, racking up 24.5 points in week two. So yeah, there's some decent players to have on your team from the Washington side of things. Flipping over to the Bills, Matt Milano, one of my guys, one of my must have guys. I pick him up all the time, and he is going off at the moment, so I'm doing really quite well out of him. Over Tremaine Edmonds, actually, Matt Milano is the one to have at this moment. It's because he gets seriously involved in rushing the passer, and he's just one of these guys that always seems to be, you know, if a fumble comes from somewhere or a tip or something, it usually seems to be someone like Matt Milano who just flies round and picks it up like he did on Sunday. He scored 25.5 points in IDP Plus last week. He got to the QB twice. He got a sack under his belt, two tackles for a loss, and he got that fumble recovery. Mention also two sacks from rookie edge Greg Rousseau. It was nice to see. Not so much for you, Bren. Sorry, mate. But he's looking promising. Oh, Greg Rousseau. Anyway, yeah. It's nice to see another rookie. Rookies are definitely going to be the talk of this week. So Greg Rousseau had a game. Mika Hyde, Jordan Poyer, and corner Levi Wallace have all started well. The secondary is doing, and they've been impressive. The whole Bills defense, to be honest with you, are looking very good so far. I'm going for the Bills in this one. I just feel that they've got a bit more to offer offensively than Washington. But I'm expecting a good game. How do you see it, Brem?
Yeah, well, it's a bit sickening, really, because when we covered off the AFC East, there were a couple of guys I highlighted. The one to watch was Rousseau, because I said at the time, well, if he, you know, he's not everyone was too hot on him, but he had all the tools to you know.
Another one we got right.
I know. And yet, and even more sickeningly, what did I say about the Milano deal? Yeah, he's a gamble, but if he stays fit, he's a must-have. Well, he's a must-have gamble, really. I felt he was worth the punt.
It's just fitness, like you said. If he's fit, he's one of those players. But the problem is with him is that's the game he plays. He does put his body on the line. He does fly around sometimes, and you think, you know, and then one bad hit and it'll knock him out.
But I mean, the problem is that they're not. I mean, as I mentioned before the show, I mean, I'm sat here dressed all in black today in mourning, you know, at the death of our O-line yesterday, at the weekend rather, because it just died on its arse. I mean, we knew it wasn't great coming into the, but you just can't do that. I mean, they made life really quite easy for, yes, it's a good defense. We know the Bills are a good team. We know they're favorites to win the division, but you've got to work harder than that. You really do. It's not taking anything away from the Bills, but yeah, my Finns made it very, very easy for them on Sunday. That O-line's got to get its shit together quick, because, you know, anyway, I'll have my rant about the Dolphins when I cover off that game shortly. So, Bills, I like Washington, but Bills at home, nah, too strong for me. Okay, moving swiftly on. So where am I going? I'm going to Cleveland. So we've got, the Bears coming to Cleveland to face the Browns. Browns, you know, picked up a decent win sort of against the Texans on Sunday. Texans were in this game, mind. It wasn't a blowout. You know, Baker was looking up to injure himself after being sort of picked up by Justin Reed and then trying to make up for it with a rather awkward challenge, but yeah, they got away with that. And in the end, you know, Chubb made a deep, you know, as I said before, when we were looking at the Texans, Chubb came in towards the end of the game and just ran it out of them, really. So a little bit of an awkward one to call. I mean, Dalton was from a, you know, looking at the Browns defense, will it really matter which QB starts? I don't know. The talk at the moment is it could well be Fields, because obviously Dalton did sort of limp out of the game with a knee injury. So I'd be expecting a bigger week from Myles Garrett and Clowney. There's not too much else in that D-line that sort of really excites me at the moment. Malcolm Smith had a day against the Texans, so 23 points, including a pick, but I'm not sure I see a repeat of that against against the Bears. Certainly not in, you know, not in terms of the points, but he could have a decent game. If Fields starts, I think the DBs are going to be, you know, sniffing around looking for mistakes. Although, you know, I like Justin Fields, but he's still a rookie quarterback. Ronnie Harrison had a solid game at the weekend with 13.5 points. He's available on the waiver wire. Denzel Ward could be worth a look after, you know, a decent week one showing against Kansas. Again, I've seen him on the waiver wire. You know, there's some value in that Browns defense. Moving on to the Bears, who picked up a week two win at home to the Bengals. Got to start with Roquan, haven't we? I mean, he just did a bit of everything, didn't he? I mean, and everything he did was just quality. 35.5 points, pick, TD, sack, tackle for a loss. I mean, it didn't get much better than that, really. Just an awesome display from a quality linebacker. He's going to be after a monster contract sooner rather than later, given some of the money that's been forked out for players who, in my opinion, I don't think are quite as good as him. Khalil Mack chipped in, as you'd expect, with a sack, racking up 12.5 points. You know, not a mad week for him by any stretch, but he got involved. Eddie Jackson at DB sort of, you know, chipped in with a forced fumble. Jalen Johnson racked up 21 points with a pick. I mean, the Bears' defense made Joe Burrow's life a little bit of a misery at the weekend. I know the score, you know, maybe doesn't tell the whole story. It looks, you know, close than it is, but they did rattle him. He did sort of make mistakes. The Browns will be a different proposition. You know, they'll mix it up. Chubb will pound the ground. So outside sort of Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack, I think Akeem Hicks and Bilal Nichols, you know, are probably in with a shout. But Baker will air it out as well.
I was gutted on Hicks this week. I picked up Hicks in a couple of deeper leagues, and I was all in on him to get a sack, and he didn't get one, but he was just constantly, like, he was one of them where he was constantly a couple of foot away every play. Driving me mad.
Close but no cigar. They'll run it, but Baker will air it out as well, so the DBs come into play. I think, you know, as a whole, you know, if you've got sort of Bears defensive players, I think they'll be involved in the game. I think there's good value in the Bears defense, but I've got the Browns to win. I'd probably, ironically, it's one of those games where you're probably looking at, as we've touched on, you know, the other week, more value in the, you know, the team that's likely to lose the game from an IDP perspective. But the Bears just don't the first 2 weeks have shown they just don't put up enough points for me. And I think, you know, against a fairly free scoring team like Cleveland, that can come back and bite you. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears, you know, pushed them. So,
because obviously Anthony Walker, linebacker, Jock played a decent amount of snaps this week. The rookie linebacker and played particularly all right. I thought he played quite well. But it's certainly a position of need. And you wouldn't, that wasn't their choice to try and rely on him. I felt that the Browns lost a little bit of captaincy, a lot of, you know, just there was points of the game where they could have, I reckon if Anthony Walker was there, I think they would have, they would have locked it in earlier. They would have won that game. They'd have been out of sight probably. It was just a couple of times where they just looked a little bit lost on things. But I like Jock. Don't get me wrong. It's just whether he's given the right amount of time. I think he's a different prospect to say like Nick Bolton. Nick Bolton was very much a tackle machine. Jock's a bit more leggy, a little bit more wild from that point of view. Great player, but still just different. Maybe not as sort of not consistent, but you know what I mean, sort of straight down the barrel of gun that you need to be against a team like the Texans.
Chicago should take if you go back to the Browns Texans game and you know last weekend, you know, the Texans got to Baker. They called some, you know, and that Bears defense is considerably better. So it's not a cakewalk for the Browns by any stretch this game, I don't think. Okay.
Where am I going? Did I say Browns? Yeah, probably. I think, yeah, they would. They probably
I think,
will.
Browns at home, yeah. But the Bears will be in it, definitely.
Yeah, right. Over to me. Colts, Titans. Oh, well, Titans coming off a fantastic. It was a great game Sunday night. Loved that game. The Seahawks, Titans. It was in your face from the word go. I mean, I've never seen this. Flags everywhere, just constantly. You know, it was kicking off all over the place. And it's not even a divisional matchup, not like this one. And this is going to be. I think the same kind of game. It's going to be really in the face. Both sides are going to be all over the place. And I expect a lot of penalties being called. And I think that will actually play into the Titans' hands. Going through some of the players, let's start with the Colts. Let's go for Kari Willis. He top scored for the Colts. In week two, he intercepted Matthew Stafford. He had seven tackles. He's had seven tackles, actually, in each week. So he seems to be a solid play moving forward. The obvious names are scoring consistently for the Colts. Darius Leonard, obviously. But you're not going to find him on a waiver wire. DeForest Buckner, Kenny Moore, they're all locked-in starters. There's nobody really shining that you wouldn't expect, but all of those top players are all scoring well, so you don't need to be concerned really about any of those. Flipping it over to the Titans, my pick this week is Danico Autry, the Titans DL. He returns to play against his former team, the Colts, and he could get a sack. The Colts, I've been sacked six times already, and we are not sure. I think I've heard today. What did I say to you, Brent? He's got not one ankle sprain. He's got two ankle sprains. Carson Wentz.
Carson, I don't know. Yeah.
Is that on both? Is that two sprains on one ankle? I don't know. Yeah.
He's got ankle issues.
He has got ankle issues. I've got no time for him. I don't know why. I'm really starting to dislike the guy, but I don't know why. But there we go. Sacked six times already. Jacob Eason could be coming in. That doesn't probably brings in the Titan secondary a bit more. I don't know. God knows. I mean, it doesn't get much better than playing against Carson Wentz. So when you're bringing the rookie in, I don't know whether that's better or worse. It's still not great. So whatever way you look at it, the Titans should sort of feast from that point of view. Harold Landry is also often running on the sack count from the Titans side of things. So he could be in line for another one in week three. I'm looking forward to the match. I think it'll be a good game, and I think that some sparks will fly. I'm not going to go too much more into it. I'm going for the Titans to win, but, you know, it's the typical Titans game. You stop Derrick Henry, and then the Colts will win it, I expect. But the Seahawks couldn't. Yeah. Exactly. What do you reckon on this one, Brent? Who's your pick?
I don't know. I'm not quite as down on Carson Wentz as you are. I've never really rated him, but as you say, he's been down a lot of times, you know, early in the season. I was quite impressed. I mean, the ankle issues aside, what I saw of him, I mean, he showed a bit of nifty footwork to elude the Rams D-line a couple of times for, but I think that's probably more an indication of the fact that he's having to do that. And he's been sacked as many times as he has. I mean, that says that O-line's right up there with Miami's for me at the moment.
I think he spends too much time there. Yes, I don't understand. Yeah,
that's always been an issue of his. He does seem to want all the time in the world.
He did all right. I mean,
Pittman. He's really slow at counting to three. I mean, that's the rule, isn't it? You know, you've got that 3 second window as a QB to make a decision and sort of, you know. So maybe he's just a slow counter. I don't know.
I had quite high hopes of him. I thought at the Colts, you know, that's a good landing spot for somebody who has shown that he can do it, but no, not for me.
I didn't see too much of the Titans game on Sunday, I will confess. I think they've bounced back well from what was
got to watch that one back, mate.
What was a very sort of, well, it wasn't an anti, you know, it wasn't an anti sort of Titans performance, but that, you know, the week one, Henry was stuffed early. And I think that had a big impact on the game. I can't see the Colts doing that. I'd be in on the Titans for this one as well, mate. Okay, moving on. That's very kind of you. You left me with New England to cover. Let's do the Saints at the Pats. I'll tell you what, it's been a weird 2 weeks for New Orleans. You know, they've gone from dismantling Green Bay to being fairly comprehensively beaten, you know, at the Panthers in week two. They've got some injury issues in defense. Probably the notable one arguably would be Marshawn Lattimore. But they still gave up over 300 passing yards, which is, you know, it's not very New Orleans. Highlights, Demario Davis at linebacker did have a busy day with 23 points, as did Peyton Turner in the DL with 25. So, that, you know, they did put up some fantasy points. Turner got a sack on Darnold in his league debut. So it's a nice start for the rookie there. I'm not keen on this Saints defense week three against the Patriots. I'm really not. I mean, just like the Panthers, you know, the Pats they've got a competent run game. I think Matt Jones will have watched yesterday's game tape and I think he'll attack that secondary. I mean, Sam Darnold in the first quarter last weekend, I mean, he just passed through that Saints defense so easily. And that kind of set the tone for the game. Unless you've got no option, I'd probably be swerving the Saints defense until they're going to have to demonstrate to me that they can be more consistent as a unit. You know, they can't flip-flop from a blowout against the Packers to a performance like that yesterday. You know better than most, I had a bit of a downer on New Orleans coming into this season. I felt they were a few injuries away from a car crash. Well, that defense has got some injuries now, and it's a question of how they're going to deal with it. I don't think it will be a car crash season. I think they've got too many good, experienced players. But we've said it time and time again, they're aging players. And they were going to pick up Knox, and I think that could come back and bite them in the arse this season. The Pats defense had an early Christmas week two against the Jets. You know, they picked off poor Zach Wilson four times, and that was before the fourth quarter. Every time he launched that ball, it seemed to find, you know, a Patriots shirt. J.C. Jackson in the secondary picked up 22.5 points, two picks. Adrian Phillips and Devin McCourty both had good games. Both, you know, they got the other two picks. Yeah, I mean, they all got in on the act in that secondary. Okay, it was the Jets. Jameis Winston isn't going to make those sort of rookie errors. I think he'll be more cautious. He's more likely to take the sack than air it out and run the risk of turning the ball over, I would suggest. But, you know, I'd still be looking at that New England secondary because, you know, there's some good players there. Elsewhere, Matt Judon has been solid. First 2 weeks, weighed in with another sack yesterday. But again, he's one of those linebackers you can play, you know, in the DL position. So, you know, make sure you do. And again, at linebacker, Bentley had another good game. 18 points, building on 10 from week one. Again, he's another player who's had two pretty consistent weeks, certainly a much better week two. Sort of seems to be sort of building on. And I found him on the waiver wires. So, for me, God help me, I hate doing this. For me, I'm definitely in on the Pats defense this week, especially if Matt Jones, as I say, if he finds himself passing through that Saints defense as easily as Darnold did. And the danger for the Saints is, you know, it's the old adage, if Mac Jones takes them out to an early lead, and, you know, they can run the ball. They showed that, you know, those couple of weeks. They get out to an early lead and Winston has got to start chasing that game. Then that New England secondary definitely comes into play. So
did you see the run by Damian Harris?
Mm.
Did you see that touchdown?
Yeah,
that was fierce.
Some hard running. I mean, it's not like Singletary against us in the first quarter where he went 46 yards untouched.
I mean, from a defensive point of view, I was screaming at it, but you have to give.
The HIV epidemic is not over. HIV is still here.
The face of HIV is so diverse.
The biggest thing to reduce HIV stigma is just to talk about it. Testing and PrEP and HIV treatment and how effective it is today.
Undetectable equals untransmittable. Whether you're positive or negative, there's not a wrong door. Whether it's testing or whether it's treatment, do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about HIV testing, treatment, and prevention at doitforyoumc.org.
You can live a long, healthy life if you're HIV positive. With the current treatments, we can get patients down to being undetectable.
The array of options is so much greater today.
U equals U. Undetectable equals untransmittable. If someone who's HIV positive, they're taking their medication, they're undetectable, they're not able to pass HIV to their partners. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your HIV treatment is their prevention. Get more information at doitforyoumc.org.
But, I mean, the fact that he kept his legs churning like he did, I mean, fair play to him.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a bit of a silver lining for that Saints defense, you know, they did get to Sam Darnold a couple of times last week. If they can get it, and Mac Jones, as confident as he looks, and he does look, out of all the rookies, he looks the least phased that I've seen so far. Whether that's just the Belichick factor. But we haven't really seen anyone get to him and get in his grill and rattle him. So if the Saints can do that, yeah, maybe. But yeah, I'd be, much as it pains me, I'd be taking the Pats in this one, especially at home.
I'm going Pats as well. I'm going Pats. I think it'd be again another probably be a tight game. The problem is, how can people predict the Saints? I mean, they are a stay away from, if you're putting money on teams, I mean, they've got to be the one to stay away from. I mean, they've had two performances that have been opposite ends of the spectrum. It's like, it's extremely difficult. I find it a bit disjointed. And yeah, it's a little bit cringy watching it all at the moment when a lot of teams are starting to, you know, you expect week one, week two, okay, a bit, yeah, okay, week three, you're going to be thinking, right, we're going to get some consistency. I mean, I don't know. God knows what's going to happen. Taysom Hill was in the game for a little bit more than I think he was meant to be on the weekend, and that's concerning again because, yeah, what how do you predict if you don't the two different QBs, two different schemes? It's just a bit of a mess.
Yeah, I mean, if there was ever a team that after week two, say, if I was going to put any sort of bet on them this season, it would be they would be my first choice to have a 9-8 season or an 8-9 season.
Yeah,
it's that sort of.
Yeah, like, I mean, they're gonna go off at times because of the kind of players that they've got. They've got a lot of boom and bust players. Yeah, they've got boom and bust players, and one of the biggest ones. Yeah, one of the biggest ones, Winston, always ever has been. Right, we need to tick this on. So right, I am going over to the Falcons Giants. Let's go. So. Yeah, interesting game this one. Falcons, Giants, two teams at the bottom of the NFL pecking order after 2 weeks of madness by both of them. Well, not madness, but a bit poor, really.
Giants were unlucky last week.
They could have had that game, really. My first line of my notes. Daniel Jones had a decent game in week two. So let's get off
the calendar.
Let's get off the smacking Daniel Jones bandwagon. He played quite well. But that doesn't make it very easy to call IDP-wise. Again, talking about what we just mentioned about the Saints, looking at the consistency of teams, the Giants are another one that are a little bit, shit or bust at the moment. And, it makes it quite difficult to see exactly what they're going to produce week in, week out. And because they've got the Falcons, it could be a good week for them. But Daniel Jones, even though he played quite well, he still got sacked four times. That's the issue. Well, not the issue from our side of things, from the IDP. You know, we could look at the edge rushers from the Falcons. They could be trying to sniff out a sack or three. So they could be in play to start. I'm not a massive fan of the Falcons pass rush. I doubt many people are. But flipping over to what the Falcons do, the Falcons put the ball in the air a lot. And they've continued to do that. They put it in the air, trying to find Pitts and Ridley. So expect the Giants secondary to be busy. The problem you've got with the Giants secondary is points consistency. There's the three big names in there. We've got Logan Ryan, Jabril Peppers, and McKinney, the rookie, Xavier McKinney. Not the rookie anymore. Sorry, last year's rookie. Looking at how they're going at the moment, Logan Ryan had a very good week one. McKinney and Logan Ryan split the points in week two. And Peppers was slightly behind them. The problem is with that is it's sharing it all out. If anybody, I would go with Logan Ryan over the three of them. But if you are targeting their secondary, maybe the man to go for could be James Bradbury. Bradbury will be tracking Calvin Ridley in this game. He's a top DB and top corner, and he will be trying to stop Calvin Ridley from running the game, and expect Ridley to carry on being targeted because they don't seem to care who doubles up on him. They'll still target him. So, yeah, James Bradbury's a start for me. Normal side of things, obviously the linebackers, Deion Jones, Foyseed Alukun, Blake Martinez, carries on racking up the tackles. They're all massive starts. Going back to, we mentioned earlier about rookies being a bit of a rookie, high on rookie week, and I'm going to go second round pick. Aziz Ojulari has had a really good start to his NFL career. He looks a player that is going to feature highly, and I would definitely pick him up if you can. Stash him if you don't want to start him, but pick him up, because I think you'll find that he's going to be a bit of a star moving forward. I'm going to go Giants on this one, but I think it's my game, which I might want to watch this one. I think it's going to be, I might have a few beers and watch this one, because I think it's going to be quite a bit of fun. It might be quite high scoring and a bit crazy. So, could be a big defensive play or two in it. What do you reckon, Bram?
Yeah, I'm not sure about this one, as you say. I mean, you've got two teams that have had fairly inauspicious starts to the first 2 weeks. I think you're right. I mean, that Giants secondary is going to be sniffing around, because Ryan will air it out. I'd like to see Jones put together a few weeks where he's consistent. You know, cut out the silly mistakes, the drop balls, the snaps coming off your pinky finger. You know, it's just, you know, just get the basics right. And because he has got some weapons there, and we said this before the start of the season. I don't think it's an easy one to call. I'd probably lean towards the Giants purely because, again, home field advantage. We said in the summer, you know, the crowds being back would be a big advantage. I could see it being a bit of a basketball score if they both start slinging it around. I think there will be mistakes on both sides, the Giants probably just about, I reckon.
Okay. Let's get you on to the Bengals versus Steelers.
Okay, so could be fun, this one. So the Bengals, week two lost to the Bears, only by 3 points. It was a close score in the end, but for me, doesn't quite tell the whole story about that sort of. It possibly says as much about the Bears' offense, as I touched on before, low scoring, than it does about the Bengals' defense, to be honest. The Bears just, I think they're going to struggle to put games to bed convincingly this season. But there were some positives. You had DJ Reader in the DL, had a decent game, 13.5 points, including a sack. Elsewhere in the D-line, Trey Hendrickson had a good game, 17 points, forced fumble, 1.5 sacks. Sam Hubbard again. So there were some players in that defensive line that put some, some respectable fantasy scores. So Hubbard put up 13. Logan Wilson at linebacker had a good game against the Bears as well, racking up just shy of 20 points, including a pick, which was quite crucial actually, because they basically, Burrow's got on the ball and they turned it into a touchdown next play. So it was an important pick for him at that stage in the game.
He's on for a big year, Logan Wilson.
Yeah, I like him. Yeah. Von Bell in the secondary, I think he's always worth a shout. I've been a Von Bell fan. I've had him in a few teams sort of on and off the waivers, racked at 15.5 points. The Raiders did get to Ben, Big Ben, on the Steelers on occasions, a couple of really big hits on him in the second quarter. So, that Steelers O-line is, you can get through it. I think that Bengals D-line is better than some people give them credit for. So along with Wilson and Bell, I wouldn't rule out those sort of three, defensive linemen I've sort of touched on. Steelers, bit of a strange one, that loss to the Raiders. I mean, the Raiders were good. I mean, they've had a good start to the season. I think they've been better than a lot of us expected. But I would expect a reaction from Pittsburgh at home. Defense is looking a little bit banged up, though. TJ Watt limped out yesterday with a groin injury.
They're saying he's got a chance of playing, but...
Mind you, I mean, he limped out with a groin injury. It's not before he racked up a sack and a forced fumble, mind. So he still scored better than a lot of the players.
Standard TJ Watt.
Just like, no... right, I've got my sack and a fumble. I've tweaked my groin, I'm off. Another one, Devin, I don't know what they're doing in sort of the warm-ups, the Steelers, because they've got groin injuries everywhere. I don't know what they're doing in the locker room. Devin Bush is still listed as, I mean, he's still down and one to watch, because you'd normally be looking at him. He's listed with a groin injury at the moment. So's Joe Hayden.
I see Joe Schobert stepped up, didn't he? He racked up some points this week.
Yeah, 19.5 points yesterday. So did Melvin Ingram, actually, racked up a decent amount of points, including a sack. But obviously, I think over the the next sort of day or two, people will be keeping an eye on those injury lists, looking at Watt, Bush. So I don't know. I think if they're 50-50, I don't think they'll risk him this weekend, simply because they've got games coming up against the Packers and the Broncos. So I think if there's any doubt on Watt in particular, they'll sit him out because I think they've got the defensive backup players to come in and handle Cincinnati. Because, for all that score was close in the Bengals game at the weekend, there's still some errors there. I'm having the Steelers bounce back with a win. Cam Hayward put in another good shift again, picked him up on the waivers last week, as I said I would, and he put in a decent sort of amount. So, I'll take the Steelers at home on this one, definitely.
Steelers also for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So.
That was fairly straightforward. Where are you going?
Ravens versus the Lions. This is, for me, there's only one team in this game. It's such a shame because of the Lions. The Lions have looked, they looked okay, but it just, for me, it's just too much of everything that the Ravens have got. So let's talk again, another rookie. You mentioned him, Jason Owe. What a start to his NFL season. He had it's a fantastic start, and he's a must add to me. The only thing is unfortunately now with what's happened, the attention will be on him. So you might be able to. He's getting to the QB. He got 14 points in week one and 15.5 points in week two, which is not massive numbers, but for the snaps that he's playing. And the fact that he is a rookie and finding his feet, that is some consistent scoring. And what a play. The forced fumble and fumble recovery against Patrick Mahomes is going to, like I said, draw some attention to him. However, you might still find him on that waiver wire. If you do, you need to pick him up pretty quickly. You might, again, like I mentioned before with Ojulari, you might not want to start him because... you might have a Chandler Jones and, Danielle Hunter or something like that. That's absolutely fine. But stash him, because I would say that this guy might be one of those guys this time next year. So he's somebody definitely to have. But talking about whether to play him or stash him, he's against Goff this week. So he could continue to feast, really. Others in Baltimore of note, obviously Patrick Queen has made a great start. Marlon Humphrey, as expected. And I expect them to continue scoring well against Detroit. Detroit. Looking through there, defensively, there's not one that really stands out. Probably Tracy Walker is probably my only safe-ish play from the Lions. Maybe Jamie Collins, but why would you be digging around there if you're looking for players? I mean, I say that, I've got Tracy Walker actually, he's done really quite well for me, but again, I probably picked him up stupidly late and just thought, there you go. And secondary wise, thinking that okay, teams are gonna go to town on him. But yeah, so I'm going nailed on Ravens win on this. Bren, same, I take it.
Yeah.
Or no.
Copy and paste that straight away. I can
big Ford fan.
Can't see any no value in that. Not against the Ravens at the moment. That's nice and simple.
Go on then, fire him up then, mate. Dolphins, Raiders, you're on the clock though. We've got to see this.
Right, very quick. So, we've already said, I've liked the Raiders first couple of weeks, and their defense has got to be a shout this weekend against that O-line in Miami's. Max Crosby on the D-line, I mean, I found him on the waiver wire. Had another good game after a monster week one. You know, sniff around, see if you can get him. Yannick Ngakoue, you know, he's getting in on the act. Well, I could see him definitely getting in on the act against that Miami offensive line. KJ Wright and Corey Littleton at linebacker, you know, I like them both, but they haven't pulled up any trees. But they, I think they'll fancy this game at the weekend. So if you watch yesterday's game tape, they're going to be licking their lips. And you've got to be looking at their DBs. Especially if, again, it's another injury situation. If Tua's fit, maybe it's a slightly different scenario. But if Brissett's playing, Jesus, you know, that secondary is going to be all over it. So, yeah, Trevon Mullen had over 20 points, including the pick. Jonathan Abrams, you know, racked up somewhere in the teens. But I was just surprised. There's an awful lot of those Raiders IDP players on the waiver wires. And if you're short, or if you've got, you know, a couple of players on the bench that, you know, projected points aren't looking too good on sleeper, I would go and get them, because, you know, the Miami were poor, yes, at the weekend. So the Dolphins, I will keep the rant very quick. Well, they put up a big fat bagel against the Bills. Outside of the three possible usual suspects of arguably Ogba, Jerome Baker and Xavier Howard, I'm not touching any of those defensive players, not at Vegas. I think it's too risky. I think they've got to prove to me that they can sort of, you know, settle and go again. I have highlighted, you know, in the summer, this issue with Miami's problem with the run defense. And I've already mentioned it. I mean, Jesus Christ, Singleton, first quarter, rips off 46 yards, goes completely untouched. There wasn't a player near him. And if Josh Jacobs is fit, and he may be, they're going to have the same problem all over again. But Christ, if they play like that, even Kenyon Drake's going to waltz through him. We could stroll through that.
We called it the run defense. So, I was trying to be polite on the last pod, and then, yeah.
Well, I'm done being polite after the last performance. Jerome Baker will play and rack up points, I guess, if you've got him and you need an LB there. We've touched on that. My worry would be that they'll end up knackered again because the offense cannot stay on the field. I mean, you know, second quarter yesterday, Xavier Howard with a great athletic diving interception puts them in great field position. What do they do? Piss it away on downs and give the ball back to the Bills. You know, and that's just not good enough. They're not going to push for a wild card spot if they're going to do things like that. The DBs are probably the only area I could make a case for, because Xavier Howard will pull off plays like that. I question whether he could go again. He is looking good this season. I think Eric Rowe arguably could have had another pick at the weekend. But because Carr does like to air it out deep sometimes and he will gamble on occasions, I think you could make a case for one or two in that Miami secondary. But outside of that, I'm swerving the Dolphins defense until they can prove to me that they've got to do something about protecting the run game better. Summary, you know, I think Miami would be better, but I can't see, based on last week's performance, I can't see anything other than a Raiders win.
Yeah, Raiders look good. Look good. I'm going Raiders as well, mate. Absolutely. So where am I going? I'm going Jets versus Broncos. This is the Say What You See segment. So, poor old Zach. He's had an absolute nightmare in week two. And you've got to start all of the Denver pass rush and the DBs. Put them all in. Whack them all in. Go for it. It's got to be the best bet for picks and sacks for me, because it just has. I mean, you just got to go off the stats, and you've got to go off. I'm a bit of a fan of Zach Wilson, but oh dear me, that was hard to watch. It was like every time I was watching Red Zone, and every time they cut back, it was the same. It was like, oh, it's done it again. But anyway, so let's go. So my pick for the top overall point scorer this week is Von Miller. I'm going all in on him. He is my top DL for week three, and all over top scorer. He had 3 sacks and 5 tackles for a loss so far this season. And obviously he's coming in against Zach Wilson, so he could feast. I would start safety Justin Simmons. Obviously, like I just said, and I must mention rookie Patrick Surtain. These rookies are doing really well this year. I mean, we're only really reviewing week 2, and already pretty much every game we're talking about one. Patrick Surtain scored 14 points in IDP Plus in week 2, which included an interception and a great pass breakup. I really, really rate him. I think he's going to be one for the future. But he's scoring quite well now, so grab him if he's there. On the Jets side, John Franklin Myers, who I highlighted last week, he scored well in week 2. So if you followed what we said and picked him up, you probably are not disappointed. He's had a sack in both weeks. So he seems pretty much a safe play. Marcus May had a day in week 2. He's a good player. And always a solid pick. So you probably won't find him on any waiver wire. But if you've got him, start him. CJ Mosley, I must mention him. He did have an uptick in week 2. So let's not just mix that up. Not massive, but still. Exactly. Prediction, I'm going Denver all day. Are you, Bren?
It's a bit like calling the Lions game all over again. I'm just having a look. I mean, talking about that, the potential sort of, pick count for Wilson again this week. I've just found, Kareem Jackson on the waiver wire in a couple of leagues.
Racked
up 17 points. So yeah, if you just want to slot him in for this game, I'd say he's a fairly safe bet to go somewhere sort of high teens, possibly pushing 20 points. Yeah, Denver all day, mate.
I said about Von Miller, I mean, if you've got TJ Watt and you're in a reasonably small league or whatever, and you've just got to play in a few, say you're playing one DL, one linebacker, and one DB, Von Miller's probably on the wire, and he is your cover. He is definitely your play for the cover to cover TJ Watt if you've got to swap him out for a week because he's injured or he is questionable. Bren, big game.
Okay. Let's Bucks Rams. Well, arguably game of the week, isn't it? Really, for my money. Let's look at the Rams first, I guess, at home. 27-24 win over the Colts. The score doesn't quite, it's closer than it should have been. I thought the Colts were okay, but they were helped out by the Rams. I mean, they had that botch punt, which we were chuckling about before we came on. We give silly penalties in the red zone, which included Kenny Young knocking the officials' glasses off and being ejected from the game.
Oh, yeah. I had Kenny Young and Kenny Young in a few hours, head in hands moment. He lost his head.
On your bike, Kenny. I don't know why he reacted. I mean, it's not anyway. And they will have to be more disciplined. You can't have your long snapper chucking the ball at some bloke in the way. You can't go losing your heads like that. Not against the Bucks because they'll go to town on you. So discipline is going to be key this week. Defense still looks good though. I mean, they had a fantastic goal line stop in the first quarter against the Colts. Real backs to the wall stuff, which included the Colts going for it on fourth down and they stuffed him. That's how good this defense can be when it's backed up. Leonard Floyd had a good game, good day at linebacker, 19 points, sack, tackle for a loss. Sebastian Joseph Day at DL racked up 23 points. I can't see him putting up those numbers against Tampa, but I think he's worth a look. The problem is you just don't know what this Bucks team's going to throw at you. Which makes it a little hard to predict from sort of IDP. I'd say from an IDP perspective, yes, there were some good performances at week 2, but I think for my money, I'm not gambling on this game. I think you stick to sure things. Aaron Donald did Aaron Donald stuff, not spectacular, but I'd potentially see him having a slightly better game this week against the Bucks. Jalen Ramsey was decent. I think he had a pick, didn't he? So, Yeah, the Bucs week two was a bit of a cakewalk against Falcons, really. Brady had a bit of a day of it. What's been a surprise is that combination of Vita Vea, who I tipped before the season to be a bit of a comeback player, and of all people, Ndamukong Suh. You know, they seem to be working well in tandem. They put a lot of pressure on Matt Ryan, closed the pocket quickly, made him sort of really sort of rush some of those throws. I think they'll try and do the same against Stafford. It won't be as easy because, you know, it was the Falcons. Suh racked up, 15 points, which for a 34-year-old tackle isn't too bad. A DB, Carlton Davis picked up 16 points. Followed on from another good week one where he racked up 18 points. But
told you to pick him up. Another one.
Yeah, I know.
Another win.
But you want to talk about monster games. Mike Edwards racked up 39 points.
I know.
Two picks. Both for touchdowns.
Just can't wait to. I hope somebody just chucks on their fab at him and then that'll be it. You won't see him again.
That's his one decent game for the season. Well, yeah. Funnily enough, just glancing back down at notes. Monster game, Mr. Edwards, but I can't see you doing that against the Rams. Don't discount the Tampa secondary. Stafford was still picked off by Kerry Willis, as you've mentioned, so he is susceptible to the odd mistake. My problem with the rest of the Tampa defense is it's all very spread out, and it's one of those, it's one of those situations where, I mean, just looking down the numbers from week two, Devon White, Lavonte David, Antoine Winfield, Shaq Barrett, Vita Vea, they were all round about the 10-point mark. So it's a great team defense, but trying to drill down into where the value's coming from is difficult.
I know.
So, in summary, it's one of those, isn't it? And we've had them before where you go, it's going to be a great game to watch, but it's a bit of a pain in the ass to find some real hidden IDP value. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'd be a cracking game. But
my call earlier at the start of the season was the Devon White thing, where I just didn't see the chance of him doing that kind of thing again, and I still stand by that. I don't see how he's going to go off as much as he did last year, because it was a bit of a freak performance when you've got to not share it out. But I mean, it's like, I think there'll be more standout players. Like you said, one thing the Bucs are, they're a hell of a team, and that's where they are, and they're a unit offensively as well. I mean, you look at exactly what's happening offensively, week one, Evans not in play, week two goes off, and you think, here we go. This is exactly what the whole team ethic that comes with Tampa Bay is all about. And I expect them to continue with that. And I expect them to, like Joe Tryon, the rookie, he will be picking up points and probably taking them off other people that you wouldn't expect. But anyway, right, where am I going now? We haven't said who's winning this one. What a big game.
Yeah, go on. So you go first.
At the Rams. Shit.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm gonna take the Rams. I think they came through a decent test against the Colts in week two. If they can just iron out those sort of errors, and just be a bit more disciplined and keep. I could see him doing it at home.
It's mad, really, because what's funny about it is, even though they're two elite. Oh, hello. We went and then we're back. Both of them could be beaten, in my mind anyway. So I'm gonna still go Bucks.
Thought you might.
I'm still gonna go Bucks.
Okay, so we're split on that one then. But good game. So couple more to get through. Up to you.
We got a few. Right, Seahawks, Vikings. Oh God's sake. People are talking about, I've talked a fair bit about the Vikings, and we've got a problem with just being, if the games are close, we will throw it away or we will blow it. We've just got that kind of, that thing going on at the moment with us. I'll go into that in a minute. Let's talk about players before I get too depressed.
At least you put points on the board.
It's kind of worse though, isn't it? I think it's
when you lose and screw it up. Yeah,
when you lose like that,
Written off the game on Sunday by the second quarter. I just went, nah, I'll just enjoy Red Zone for the rest of the night.
Yeah, as well. And the thing is, because the Cardinals and everybody, I've got friends that are Cardinals fans as well, and you know they're very unrealistic. Usually, the Cardinals fans, they're like, you know, every player that they've got is elite and the best at their position. However, as a team, they're bang average, aren't they, a lot of the time? And they're never really in the running apart from, you know, they rely so much on Kyler. It's unbelievable. However, yeah, and to lose like that is just like a kick in the balls. Anyway, so let's go into the players, though. In Danielle Hunter, we, the Vikings, have one of the best pass rushers in the game. And he is on it. On the other side, Bobby Wagner, the Seahawks have one of the best linebackers. Hunter so far has put up 4 sacks in 2 games and 4 tackles for a loss. Wagner has put up 33 tackles in 2 games. No, 20 tackles in week 2, which is some serious scoring by both of them. They're both playing lights out, which is quite interesting. Now they're up against each other. Obviously, they're not actually physically up against each other, but on the pitch, which way this will go. I want to talk about, just pick up on a couple of players that may sneak under the radar. Nick Vigil is in alongside Eric Kendricks in linebacker. He's in replacing the injured Anthony Barr. He's put up 18 tackles, 2 tackles for a loss, 1 interception, and a touchdown at the weekend. So he is a sneaky buy, definitely. From the Seahawks side, I'd like to put forward Kerry Hyder. He came from the 49ers. And Kerry Hyder is getting to the QB. He has yet to register a sack, but he's had 3 QB hits. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is where he gets his first sack against Kirk Cousins. And it could be like buses, a few come along at once. So Vigil and Hyder would be decent pickups if they are available on your waiver wires, which I expect both of them probably to be. I'm not going to go on too much about the obvious players in these teams because, as I said, they are obvious. They score well. So I'm just going to go straight on to the prediction of the result. Interesting. Oh, I'm going to go for it. This is the battle. This is the battle of the chokers from week 2. I mean, the Seahawks had it in the bag, absolutely had it in the bag. And it wasn't just the fact that they lost it to Derrick Henry. They gave up a lot of air yards to Julio Jones as well. And it's stupid times. The Vikings had it more in control and they're kind of knocking on the door. There was a decent performance actually against the Cardinals. And it's at the Vikings, so I'm going for us. Just Vikings win.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
Don't know. Quick. Bit torn on this one. Like you say, but yeah, there's some real value in that Vikings defense.
Go.
I'm gonna go with the Seahawks on the road. I think they bounce back. But a little bit on the fence with that. I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings do it at home. I'll say the Seahawks just
could be high scoring. Another good game. I quite like that. Like that one.
Okay.
Well, not from my point of view, probably. But there we go. Okay. Packers Niners.
2 more to cover off. Right. I'll rattle through this one quickly because I've got to be honest. I haven't actually sat down and watched too much of the Packers. So. You know, so it was, yeah.
Never mind.
I'd say, well, I mean, for a kickoff, it's at San Francisco. So I'm already leaning towards the Niners on this one anyway. For me, on that Packers defense, I'm sort of leaning towards the usual suspects, I guess. You know, your Kenny Clark's on the D-line, who's going to be in there trying to stop that Niners run game. Chris Barnes, I said before the season, picking the linebackers at Green Bay for me. I think, you know, depending on if the Niners are still sort of tinkering. I mean, Jimmy G had a good weekend for me. They seem to be bringing in Trey Lance for the odd play, but maybe a bit of value in the secondary. Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage, they're still, mind you, Savage is still carrying a knock, so that'd be one to keep an eye on. I think he's still as questionable, but I'd be looking for the secondary there to be sniffing around. The Niners came to a tough game week two against the Eagles, who we've been impressed with. I mean, it was defenses all day long in that game, sort of week two. I mean, I think there was all of 3 points on the board by halftime. But they eventually just about put the Eagles to bed. I like the Niners defense in this game. Fred Warner's been solid, not spectacular, but I think he's due a big game. And I think he may just have a little bit of a day against Green Bay. I like this secondary as well. Ward, Tart, Lemoir. They've all had good points totals, and I found them all in various sort of waiver wires in a couple of leagues. If you go sniffing around, a bit like some of those Raiders players I mentioned, you can go out and find some decent San Francisco DBs. And then you've got Nick Bosa racking up over 20 points in the first 2 weeks. I think for me in this one, Niners win at home. I think that the Packers are, they are going to be better than they were in that week one showing. And for me, I'm going to take a bit of a punt on sort of, Bren's little banker of the week, and go for Nick Bosa to rack up 20 points 3 weeks on the trot. So there you go. There's
Bren's banker.
Bren's banker.
We want to get something flashing up there.
We're going to get
Bren's banker.
Not me. But yeah, you can get something flashing on the screen.
No, you don't need that. Jesus Christ.
Right. Niners for me, definitely in this one.
Niners. Yeah. Niners for me as well. I don't know. I'm waiting to see what happens with the Packers. Something's not quite right there.
No, they're a bit like the Saints for me at the moment. There's some players there, but
we know about all the contract shit and all that. But I mean, I don't know. Something's not quite right. Right, I am moving on to the final game. Eagles versus Cowboys, Monday night. Okay, cracking game to finish. Another tough one to call, though. I feel the loss of Brandon Graham. And the loss to the 49ers are a bit of a kick in for the Eagles. And I feel that probably points it for me at a Dallas win. The Philly defense, though, has scored decently in the first two games, especially up front. It's mainly due to Javon Hargrave. He was straight out the blocks in week two. I finished with 17 points in IDP plus, included two tackles for a loss. He also had a monster week one, so he's sitting in the top five for DLs so far this season, which is impressive for an interior guy. Anthony Harris is also somebody I'd like to speak about, because he will be probably around on waiver wires. They got him from the Vikings. Was kind of quite rated him, thought he was a decent prospect, struggled a bit with injury and stuff, but he is a decent safety. What's he got? He's got 10 tackles in week two, so he had a hell of a week two, actually. For Dallas, Micah Parsons has moved to edge to accommodate the loss of DeMarcus Lawrence. Yeah, I'm not sure about it all, but it went well on Sunday. Not only did Dallas win, but Mika, he got a sack. He got four QB hits. It just shows you what pressure he can bring on. And a few tackles to outscore his week one performance, where he obviously played as a linebacker. But going on from that, talking about that issue of him moving to edge as such, talking about their linebacker split now, it is changed. Jalen Smith saw a lot of time on the field, actually. He made 9 tackles. Keanu Neal, 3 tackles and 1 tackle for a loss. I noticed that Keanu Neal and Leighton Van Der Esch have exactly the same tackle count at this moment in time, which, yeah, none of it really bodes too well IDP-wise. The one thing I would say was a lot of people that obviously picked up Jalen Smith earlier on in the year and probably kept him, now you can consider playing him, especially if you're going to see, if you're going to see Micah Parsons line up in that edge position, then there is definitely a spot for Jalen Smith. Where am I going to go for else? For this actual game, it's difficult to really target where to pick, because I think it's going to be a tough one to call. They're usually really tight games, these. They're really good games, but knowing where the points are going to be, it is difficult to call. The one I would target, actually, is Dallas safety, Jayron Kearse. He's had 10 tackles so far this season, 1 pass defending, and they're using him to rush the quarterback as well. So he is a decent play. He seems to be the top point scorer so far on the Dallas Cowboys defense. I'm edging for a Dallas win. As I said earlier, I think that Philly are a little bit banged up, and I think the loss against the 49ers will hurt them, with obviously Dallas coming off a good win against the Chargers. So I'm going Dallas. Where are you going, Brem?
Yeah, I'd say for all those reasons, I'd say Dallas for me as well. Although I've actually just dropped Jalen Smith in one of our IDP leagues, but
still
I was threatening to week one, and I just thought, mind you, I think I brought in Hicks, so it's not, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny all this. It's funny all this, and it makes it all very difficult when you know they're not necessarily rotating, but we don't know what the actual. I think Jalen Smith isn't in the main plans. I don't think he is. I think if everyone was fit, Mika wouldn't be moving, and Jalen Smith would be seeing a reduced snap count.
Yeah, I still stand by the decision a little bit. Though interesting, I just found Eric Wilson for the Eagles on the waiver wire in our Ray Lewis league. So, yeah.
Decent, mate.
Yeah, it's worth a look.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So I'm just gonna go through my picks, because my picks are from obviously the players that I've talked about. Von Miller is going to be my top point scorer, or overall, for week 3. Vikings linebacker Nick Vigil, if Anthony Barr isn't back, he's worth picking up. Seahawks DL Kerry Hyder. He's a cheap pickup. Baltimore rookie Jason Away, as we've already mentioned, if you can get him, grab him. Washington linebacker Cole Holcomb, as he is Mr. Consistent. So they are the ones that I am putting on the top of my list. Do you want to add to that? Because obviously I didn't include the players that you reviewed, but...
As I say, I'm still sort of, I mean, just based on the matchups this week, go out waiver shopping. Look at some Raiders players. They're definitely out there. Same with some of the Niners secondary players. And as I've just said, you know, I found Eric Wilson out there on a couple of waiver wires. So
use the stats. People should use the stats, yeah. And you know, look at the top point scorers. There is a level of consistency going on. Yeah. So I know it's only week two.
Yeah, but there's definitely some of those players you've highlighted. You look at, you know, they've not just put up good numbers in sort of, you know, the first, in the second week, it's, you know, they've been, oh, right, I know it's only a fortnight's worth of games, but the indication would be that, you know, the way they've been performing, the, you know, the tackle numbers are consistent with a lot of these players. And you can just see them, bar an injury, just, you know, racking up sort of similar scores again. So, but again, it's, yeah, look at the stats. But as I've highlighted with the Raiders going up against the Miami O-line, you know, you've got to sort of amalgamate that with the individual sort of game matchups as well, where those points are going to come from, yeah, where the weaknesses are in the offense. So yeah, it's all good fun as always.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we will be back next Thursday night to get you ready IDP wise for week 4. I'm off to make, I'm gonna have a quick look at what cocktails Liam has done, and then see whether it's a good idea to follow suit or not. And I'm going to go and check my lawnmower 4.0 is fully charged. Over and out, guys. See you next week.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.